Ave Maria.
Welcome, everybody, to day one of this preparation to Marian consecration.
Thank you for joining us. So today is a special day. Chapter one, what does Sister Lucia describe?
She talks all about the life of Fatima back in like 1914, 15, 16, all the years prior to when the apparitions began.
And it's a different way of life, friends. And it's a beautiful way of life. Mm-hmm. And the whole point of video number one here is to highlight the virtuous living in Fatima. Because the virtuous living in Fatima was the environment where Our Lady went into. So in one sense, Fatima was in their own preparation. By living the Catholic life, they had prepared their hearts and their village to receive the apparition of Our Lady of Fatima. So what we want to do is ask ourselves, well, what can we learn from how the village of Fatima lived and then apply that to our own life so that we are preparing also to receive maybe not an apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary, but an apparition of grace. And what I mean by an apparition of grace is that we can come to an awareness of God's presence in our life and in our families through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So we're just going to go through a little different than this video. We're going to read some of the quotes that highlight the virtuous living in Fatima. And then we want to highlight that because we want to emulate that in preparation for our entrustment down the road. So Fatima was a united community.
Sister Lucia says, "But the whole village was so united that it appeared to be one single family.
All families were nourished by the graces of matrimony."
Sister Lucia writes, "Their homes had been blessed by the sacrament of matrimony, and their conjugal fidelity was absolute." So Sister Lucia actually says right in the first chapter, she says, "Have you had your house blessed?" So I think that's a really good question for us to ask ourselves. Point blank, have you had your house blessed? Has a priest come over? Has he brought holy water, holy salt? And if you have, obviously, water and salt in your home, he can bless that and you can keep it in your home as sacramentals.
It might be a great thing to do in preparation for an entrustment. Families were generously open to life.
Sister Lucia writes, "They welcome all the children that God chose to send them, not as a burden, but as another gift from which God was enriching their homes."
People were generous with material goods.
So Sister Lucia actually describes this right in the book, saying that if there was a home that maybe someone was baking bread and they were short on flour, they could go and borrow it from somebody else. Or if they needed a loaf of bread, they could go and borrow from their neighbor. And then later on to return that favor and bring the loaf of bread back.
A great example also of generosity was Sister Lucia's sister. And she describes how her sister loves figs. And her sister was waiting for this fig tree to ripen. And there was finally a fig ready to be picked. And so her sister picks the fig and then runs back to her mom to give her mom the fig because she knew her mom liked figs. And I asked myself the question, would my children do that? Or would they just eat it for themselves? But I realized that if I want my children to bring back the figs to me that they really love, I got to be able to practice generosity myself. And this is exactly what Sister Lucia's mom does. She takes the fig and tells her daughter, "We will wait until the entire family comes home and then we'll share this fig." Now get this, friends. There's seven kids in Sister Lucia's family. Mom and dad makes nine. And they're going to split that fig up nine ways? What was it, the size of a watermelon? The point is, they were generous, even in their poverty. The village of Fatima kept Sunday holy.
Sister Lucia writes, "Everyone fulfilled the precept of keeping holy the Sundays. In the morning, everyone went to Mass. In the afternoon, people relaxed. The young people would meet together and have a good time in our yard, under the watchful eye of their parents."
The village was prayerful.
Sister Lucia writes, "When the sun went down and the church bells rang, everybody stood up, the men taking off their characteristic cap and holding it in their hands while the Angelus was said. After supper, the father would start the grace after meals, followed by a string of Our Fathers, Hail Marys, and Glory be to the Fathers, for all the intentions that came to mind. Then the mother would lead the rosary, or the crown of seven mysteries, in honor of Our Lady of Dolores."
In the village of Fatima, sacraments were a priority.
Sister Lucia writes, "The day on which each of their children made his or her first communion was one of solemn and intimate rejoicing for all the family, For on that day, God was once again visiting their home and uniting himself with one of its members. I just think that's so beautiful. You know, when a child is receiving their sacraments, how it really is a time of great rejoicing for the entire family. And sometimes, you know, I think back to times where I've attended Mass and maybe there's been different sacraments going on and how I've kind of dreaded it because the Mass was going to be longer. Mm. Now I look back at that and think how my priorities were so misplaced, how these sacraments being given to these people, how this is one of the most important days of their lives.
In Fatima, they had simplicity of life.
Sister Lucia writes, in their homes, there was no abundance of the earthly goods. However, there was peace and unity, joy and love. Thus, everyone was happy.
So Sister Lucia highlights many themes in chapter one that are repeated again and again and again in later chapters down the road. But mm-hmm. Janelle, you had some additional insights.
Well, I just thought it was really important because she did do a whole big section about modesty and how important it is to dress modestly. Just she goes back to the story of Adam and Eve and how, you know, they started with the fig leaves, but then how God ended up, you know, putting together some garments for them and how it is important. But then she also makes a connection of how our modest dress can also be a form of penance and reparation for sin. And not just our modesty or our dress, but just in life in general. Do we do acts of penance? This will be a very common theme that we're going to be seeing over and over and over again. It's a really big part of the message of Fatima.
So you might be thinking, what in the world do all these quotes that you just read have to do with the message of Fatima? I'm glad you asked. Sister Lucia says,
let me tell you that they have a great deal to do with it, because since the message as a whole is a call to keep the law of God, I think that it will have been the fact that these families kept these divine laws, in spite of the inevitable weakness of human nature, that drew down upon them the gaze of the infinite mercy of God.
In closing, friends, did you know Fatima can happen in you? We've described the atmosphere Our Lady came into, so let's make our hearts like the village of Fatima, in preparation to entrust ourselves to Mary. So let's start acting virtuously, living the Catholic faith to the best of our ability, mm-hmm. and we'll create within our heart that atmosphere of Fatima so that Mary can come and give us an apparition of grace, an awareness of God's presence in our life and in our families by means of her intercession. Mm-hmm. So with that, friends, let's pray the rosary. Link right up there. Our Lady of Fatima,
pray for us. We invite you to join our journey. Get all 33 Fatima consecration videos emailed to you. Head over to fatimaconsecration.org and sign up.
Also, share this video with others. It's an easy way of spreading the beauty of the Catholic faith to a hurting world. Together, we can do something wonderful for God. God bless, friends.